Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That is right. We are coming to you live from joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Teron Davenport. You are now rocking with TD. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. We're going to have a packed show here. A lot to talk about, a lot to go over. I got Nick Frazier coming in the relief duty for David James, making it happen. Nick, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just ready to, you know, see what the Titans are going to do this year.
Yeah, no, you are just as ready as a lot of other fans, and that train seemed to be rolling forward, but some things came to a bit of a stop today. Obviously, you had Treylon Burks go down, and I'm just going to kind of set the scene for you on how it happened. And there is a video out there, and you could see it if you check my Twitter timeline. I retweeted it from a fan. The fans were not supposed to be recording, but one did, and it came out, and they – look, they shared it, so I'm going to share it. But basically, so they had went through the team period. Ryan Tannehill had initially been hitting, you know, some of the short passes. And it's interesting the way it's set up. You know, he and Kyle Phillips connected a couple times. And then there was kind of like a combination in there. And Treylon Burks got open deep. And he got behind the secondary. I forget the corner that he beat, but he definitely got past him, and Tannehill threw a beautiful ball. And it was one of those ones that it makes the receiver run faster. Like, he led him, for lack of a better word. He led him perfectly towards the end zone, put it up there, and Burks had to accelerate to go get it. He did, in a very nice hands catch, snapped it out of the air. And after he caught it, he was trying to keep his balance because he had accelerated so well to it and had to, like, turn and catch it. It caused him to lose his balance a bit. And it was one of those things where if you ever see somebody, they fall, they're falling, and it's like they're swimming. You know, they're moving their arms and doing everything they can, and their legs are churning. And then finally, sometimes, like, you just fall forward. And that's what he did. He fell forward, and then he kind of, like, somersaulted into the end zone. And it's funny because while he was doing that, like, while he was stumbling forward, I was with Coach Matt, Dave McGinnis, and, you know, we're watching him, like, stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up. Then he finally tumbled to the ground. And then he got up, and he kind of, like, took a step and then spiked the ball. And that's when it became clear that he was hurt. Now, initially, it looked like one of those ones where he was going to be able to walk it off. You know what I mean? And he tried to do that, but then the trainers came over, and they said, hey, man, we got to help you. And they kind of helped him get off the field. It was his left leg that he was favoring. He got off the field, and then they laid him. So the way this field is set up, so there's four fields, right? They have two on one side, and then there's a little gap between the other set of fields, two fields there. And in between, they have different, like, stations and things set up. And that's where they laid Burks on the ground, and it kind of tended to his leg, and you could see them, like, trying to work it and, you know, loosen it and do different things. And then the thing that was concerning to me is so Rand Carthon came over, and he was talking to him, and Burks put both his hands on his head. Now, usually, you know, when you see a guy put both hands on the head, like, that's like, oh, this could be bad. And then, unfortunately, with the way things go, like, they had to pick the ball up and keep going, you know, so they kept going for that group. And then DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry were able to, they were subbed out, and they went over to Burks, and they're kind of talking to him, and, you know, just look, you try to look out for your boy, right? He's in a bad situation, so you try to look out for him. You try to comfort him, and that's what they were doing. Then the cart came, and that's when it's like, you hate to see it. But, you know, the cart is the quickest way to get a guy inside. And certain situations, you know, you don't want him putting pressure on whatever it is that's injured. I couldn't tell if it was a knee or calf, but he did go on the cart. He was kind of grimacing slightly, then holding the area right, like, right below his knee. He was kind of holding that. And It's tough. You hate to see that happen to anybody, but that's the scene. That's what happened. And when you look at Treylon Burks, this is a guy that, as we know, he came back in different shape, different mindset, a more confident player, a more comfortable player, and he was really excelling on the field. In fact, was it just Monday? You know, he had a really good day. And before that, he had good days. And it just, as soon as we got to speak to him at OTAs, it was very clear that he was a different player. So you say, hate to see that work get flushed down the toilet. And I mean, we'll see how this continues to play out. But hopefully for his sake, for the Titans' sake, it's not a long-term injury. I mean, we've seen some of the guys. I think it was it Jeff Okuda, I think it was, that went down in Falcons camp. And, you know, he was carted off and he came back a few days later. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Treylon Burks, but you hate to see that momentum that he had rolling, into the season. You hate to see that stopped. And it's a tough situation for the Titans offense, too, because Treylon Burks is a huge part of it. Remember, before DeAndre Hopkins came, this is the guy who everybody said, like, that's going to be your number one. That's your primary pass catching option. And he made some plays today before that long catch that he had. So we'll keep you updated on that. And just with that, Chris Moore, he's probably going to be the next guy up, so to speak. He worked a lot with the group and, you know, he did some things. Tannehill was able to hit him a few times and it'll probably end up being more like everybody is pushed up the depth chart now, at least while Burks is out. And one other thing with Reggie Roberson, he's a guy that I think, you know, will get a little bit more in the mix. They like to cross train the receivers, whereas they want them all to play all three positions. Now, some are more suited for the slot than others, but you see them move these receivers around, and that's something that will allow them to get various groups of three on the field. But right now, it looks like, you know, behind Burks and Hopkins, it's going to be a mix of Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook, and Kenny. Those are probably going to be the main ones that will get more reps while Burks is out. It's an opportunity for them to step up. And I think Chris Moore has done an excellent job of stepping up. You know, he's made play after play. He's been consistent. At every practice, you know, you don't see him dropping the ball. And I know he had the fumble in the Bears game. But, I mean, you look at that type of play. Most of the time, like, it's the guy you don't see that can make you fumble. And that was a very violent hit. That happens. You know, that's not something I'm going to hold against him there. But I think for the most part, he's been able to successfully play the role that he was put in once DeAndre Hopkins came. Now, if Burks is out and Moore is expected to elevate on the depth chart, his play is going to have to elevate too, because what he was doing was good for a 3/4 receiver. Now, as the number two, you got to do a little bit better. So I'm curious how they're going to work things out. They're getting a great opportunity out here working with this Vikings defense. And, you know, the Vikings, they give them a nice challenge, and it's just something different. So that's definitely good for them. We'll keep you updated from those practices. Saturday's game is going to be interesting too, because although Hopkins and those guys, Burks, they're not going to play, Chris Moore is going to play. Racy McMath will play. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine will play. Reggie Robertson will play. Treshawn Harrison to play. And Gavin Holmes, I will say this, he and Will Levis have connected pretty well also. So, you know, there's different guys that will get opportunities. So definitely make sure you stay tuned for that. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. I'm going to bring it back. We'll run TMC after we pay these bills. But definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
As the music fades, Lights dim. And now, coming to you live, Minnesota, for your Timberwolves, starting at power forward, number 35, Sidney Lowe.
And now, starring in Coming to America, Randy Watson.
Mr. Randy Watson, ladies and gentlemen.
Jason Jack. What's up, Doc, man? How you doing, man? What's going on with you?
Hey, man, I'm doing really well out here in Minnesota. Let me tell you what, the Vikings facility,
it's off the chain.
TCO Stadium, it is crazy. They have a whole stadium here. I'm sitting here in the visiting coach's press box, looking down on a turf field, looking over, and there's four practice fields just beyond. It's nuts. But
yeah.
The news of the day, obviously, is the Treylon Burks situation. So we had to start off with something funny. I'm glad you mentioned the sexual chocolate, Randy Watson coming to America. Because, I mean, man, fans are going to need something to smile about. But
yeah, I agree.
I'll tell you. So the Treylon Burks situation. Here's what happened, and I got into this in the opener. Basically, I was surprised that he was hurt. So he got deep in the secondary. Like he was able to, you know, win his matchup, get deep. It was in team period, and he was running down the field, and Tannehill saw him, and he led him perfectly on the pass, and Burks was able to track it down. And you know how you catch the ball, and you're kind of – it's like you're swimming, right, because you're trying to stay up?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's what he was trying to do. And then just like at the one-yard line, he finally lost his footing.
Yeah.
And he somersaulted into the end zone. And then he got up and spiked the ball. It wasn't because he was happy that he scored. It was because he was mad. And then he limped. And then they eventually carted him off the field. Tough situation there, man. You know what it's like to lose a teammate for a bit. You know, even just have a teammate get carted off. I mean, like, that's rough for you as a player, but it's crazy how you got to, like, put it aside and just keep going. But what do you make of this injury to Burks?
It's really, really tough because, you know, I've been rooting for Burks the whole season because if you look at last year when he came in, you know, he came in out of shape and, you know, had to overcome some adversity, and then he came into camp in shape and gained the trust of your offensive coordinator, gained the trust of your teammates, and now you're in position to make a run to be one of the best wide receivers in the league, and then you have a situation that comes out like this and he gets hurt. It's just heartbreaking because you want to see people to be successful. You want to see people to overcome, you know, adversity, and that's what he was doing. He was on the right track, making plays. You know, Tannehill's excited about everything he's doing. Then the injury just puts a bad taste in your mouth. And I watched the film, you know, 5, 6, 7 times to kind of see what was happening. I'm not going to say I'm a doctor. I'm not going to say that I'm a specialist. But just watching the video is when he caught the ball, just like you said, it's kind of like he's swimming, and he's trying to stop himself. And if you look at about the second or third stomp, when I say stomp, where he's trying to stop, the impact of where he's hitting the ground, I just think that that's where he got hurt. I'm not saying it's a knee, I'm not saying it's a calf, but it has to do something around that area.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because it probably was where he hit the ground, or it could have been like where he was trying to slow down. I don't know, but when you look at just how things happen, right? So the trainers came over, they moved him off the field, and they had to pick the ball up and just keep going. How tough is that to do that once you see a teammate carted off?
It really, really is, because that's one of your teammates and that's one of those guys you go to war with during the season. I remember, I think it was coming off the Super Bowl run when Kevin Dyson got hurt in practice. He got his knee tore where Perry Phoenix hit him in practice. And you sit there for a second because that's one of your players that are laying on the ground. He's hurt and he's in pain. He's in agony. And you have to, you know, not just put it behind you, because that's a bad word to say because that's your teammate, but just like I said, practice goes on. So what we did is after practice, we went to go check on him. We called him. We called his wife. We called people to make sure he was okay after the practice, because the thing about it is if you sit there and you're in practice and you don't focus and you're worried about your teammate, then also all of a sudden you can put yourself in a position to get hurt. So what we did when Kevin Dyson got hurt, we talked to him after practice and made sure he was all right, and he actually was.
So if this is a situation, you know, knock on wood, God forbid,
right,
Burks is out for a long time, what do the Titans do to not replace him, but to fill in for what's left behind?
I mean, we always talk about opportunities, and I'm not being light of Burks being hurt, but these are guys that they were on the bubble of making a team to have a possibility of making a team and making a name for itself. Because if you look at the guys that had the potential to make some plays, like Chris Moore, you know, Colton Dow, Reggie Roberson, and you know, Treshawn Harrison, that, you know, that they brought in, these guys can have a position to say, you know what, we know one of our soldiers has gone down. Let me go out there and make a case because the opportunity presents itself. I'll give you a perfect example. The year that the Patriots won the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, when Tom Brady won it his first year, what happened? One of the quarterbacks went down, and he got in position to go and win the Super Bowl. So the situation that you're looking at, yeah. I'm not negating that Burks got hurt, but I'm saying that this is a perfect opportunity for those guys that were in the back to maybe come to the forefront.
Is you stay ready so you never have to get ready, right? Or the other saying, luck is when hard work meets opportunity, and unfortunately – this could be the opportunity for one of those guys. That's a great point. And it's unfortunate because, you know, just watching, they were just starting to come into a nice groove there when that injury happened. You look at Treylon Burks on what – you look at Treylon Burks on – man, these days, I'm telling you, camp just makes the days – jumbled together. Yeah. I'll say it this way. The day before they traveled, so it was Monday. You look at Burks on Monday, he was virtually unstoppable, making plays all over the place, he had a great day. So it was like, man, you see that, and then you see him in one-on-ones today, had a couple of nice plays, and then he made that catch, and things are just starting to stack. It's you hate to see that kind of just be put to a stop, however long that should be.
Yeah, it is. But the one thing that I'm so proud of him with Treylon Burks is, you know, he's been consistent from day one, from OTAs to now. He's been consistent, making plays every in OTAs and also in the camp that just went on with the Minnesota Vikings. You consistently heard his name. You consistently heard he's making plays. You consistently say, this guy looks like a number one wide receiver. So when you have a situation to where he goes down, it's just really, really heartbreaking, because you work so hard. You overcame adversity. You overcame the asthma. You overcame all these things. Then now you're getting in a prime position to make a run for the Super Bowl, a prime position to where you can be an elite wide receiver. Then now you have a setback. But here's the thing that I love about the whole situation. He's got two choices, and I had to go through this, to get better or get better. And I think that with this situation, it's going to make him better. He's going to be better in his routes. He's going to be better with his attitude. He's going to be better in what he's been doing. I'm not saying that he was bad doing it, but he's going to create him a hunger that you never know that every play that you play, it could be your last play. And I think he's going to play every play to his last one.
Let's shift gears to the joint practices. And one thing I will say, I mean, look, I watched O-line, D-line. I watch them. You watch special teams, period. All of those times where, like, stuff could get a little chippy, right? And you can see the potential for dust-ups to happen, but none of those happen. For you, going back to the days when you were in joint practices, what was it, the Redskins you guys had joint practices
with? Redskins in San Diego with Junior Seau.
Okay, well, I mean, if you got a story, the floor is yours.
I got a whole bunch, especially when we was going against the Washington Redskins. And you already know, back then, we had some crazy defensive back. We had Blaine Bishop. We had Chris Dishman. We had Darrell Lewis. We had Jackson. We had guys that didn't care. So now we're in 7-on-7, and after 7-on-7, they had to call practice. The reason why they called practice is because those guys were hitting guys in 7-on-7, and they were fighting. So you have silly stuff like that, crazy stuff like that. But then also you get to sit back and watch some of your heroes practice. I remember I had a chance to go against Junior Seau. I'm in the slot, And everybody knows how Junior Seau is. Great, great linebacker. Everybody talks about his eyes. I mean, how he practices in practice, how he plays, you know, like it's his last play, how he's running, he's communicating, screaming and yelling. I'm sitting there in the slot like, oh, my gosh, that's Junior Seau. He was the real deal. He practiced fast. He communicated with his players. He dominated at everything that he did. And to have the joint practice with the guys that you saw on TV, it was great in that aspect.
Did you have a rendezvous with him at all in the middle of the field or anything?
I was scared. if I got a shallow cross, don't throw it to me, Doc. Hey, I'm serious, man.
Check out of it. You looking over, you're like, Neil, check out of it. Don't throw the damn ball.
I'm serious, man. Hey, I'm serious. He was intense, but listen, TD, he was one of those guys that you felt on the field. To where you better have your head on a swivel. You better know where that cat is at, because if you don't, you're gonna get kissed in the mouth. I don't care if it's 707. I don't care if it's team. I don't care what it is. You better have your head on a swivel. He's gonna let you know where it is. Now another guy I was scared of. We didn't have joint practices against him, but I was scared of Greg Lloyd.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel said he was scared of him too. Mike Vrabel said that it was on Bustin' with the Boys. He said, the first 2 weeks of camp, Greg Lloyd didn't say a thing to him. And then Vrabel got into a fight. And after that fight, Greg Lloyd started fooling with him.
Hey, he's a black belt in karate.
Was funny.
He's a black belt in karate, TD.
Yeah, he is.
I ran a show.
Now, Vrabel didn't get into a fight with Greg Lloyd. He knew better than that. He got into a fight with someone else. And Greg Lloyd he got into the fight. So that was his way of getting in with him. But, you know, for you – it's interesting, right? I talked to Ryan Tannehill today about the joint practices and how that's now considered that those are your preseason games if you're
absolutely
a starter.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that? I mean, is that something that you think the guys should play in the preseason?
I think they should, because the thing about it is, if you look at the first game, there's a lot of injuries because you don't get hit that much, and you know you're not in condition because you know you're not playing a lot of football. Yeah, you're going through 7-on-7. Yeah, you're going through this, but you're not putting yourself in game situations. I think that when you have these preseason games, it allows you to get in shape. It allows you to understand the speed of the game, but then also it also helps those guys that did get drafted, those guys that are on the bubble of making field to making the team, to have the potential to make the team because they keep showing up on field. So you know, a lot of times you got to really, basically, in my opinion, you got to have your roster set because you really don't have a lot of time to evaluate the guys behind the guys. So that's why I think they should have those preseason games.
The fourth preseason game, are you saying? But even like for the starters, like for Ryan Tannehill, for Kevin Byard, these guys, they're not seeing the field, right? They're not going to see the field in the preseason. Do you think that that's the right way to go about getting ready for it?
No, this is my opinion. I think they should see the field. They may not play the first one, but I think the second one, they should play to the second half. Because the thing about it is, you know, when you're in practice, it's a different type of speed because you're stopping and starting and you take breaks and all that stuff. But when you're in game situation, you start to see the guys that are out of shape because they're not in game shape. There's a difference between being in camp shape and a difference between in game shape. Because if you look at later on in the season, like the fifth or sixth game, then now guys are getting in game shape as opposed to being in camp shape.
What can you pull from those joint practices, though, just on the positive side of that? Is there a noticeable difference in the speed and just the energy and the pride and everything in the joint practices as opposed to standard regular practices?
Yeah, because you want to go against somebody else. And then also, you know, you kind of measure where your team is at. I mean, just imagine if I'm going against the Dallas Cowboys and we have a joint practice and I'm going against Deion Sanders day in and day out and I'm consistently kicking his butt. That's going to give you confidence to say, you know what, if I can beat Deion Sanders in practice, that means I can beat any corner in the league. So that's what I love about it, because it gives you a measuring stick to where your offense is at, your defense is at, and your special team is at, because you're going against somebody that doesn't look like you.
Yeah, no, that makes 100% sense. What do you expect from this Titans team? Or no, here we go right here. Justin Jefferson, getting to go against him, how much do you think that will help these DBs? I know I talked to Christian Fulton, and he told Justin Jefferson to line it up. He wants to match up with him consistently.
It'll make you better, because if I'm a cornerback and, you know, you want to be a shutdown corner like, you know, Christian Fulton, he wants to be that shutdown corner and be one of the best. So if you want to be one of the best, that means you got to shut down one of the best. And if you're going against Jefferson and you're shutting him down, you're locking him and you're jamming him at the line of scrimmage, he's catching the ball, you don't think you're going to go in the game with confidence and feeling like, man, I can cover anybody because he's one of the top four, you know, receivers in the league? Heck yeah, it's going to build your confidence. Heck yes, it's going to make you better because you're going with a different skill set. Every day, you know, Christian Fulton sees Burks. They see, you know, NWI. They see Harrison. They see Kyle Phillips. They see those moves every day. Now you're going against a different animal with Justin Jefferson that has a little wiggle at the line of scrimmage, that, you know, lies with his eyes, that understands how to get guys off the spot. Now, if you stop him, then it makes you feel confident that you can stop anybody. That's why I love these practices.
Yeah, no, that makes 100%. I like the points you make there. It's very true. I'm just going to see how this thing works out. I mean, obviously, this Traylon Burks situation is one to really be concerned with. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, guys have gone down, and they were able to get up and come back in and be okay. So, it's one of those ones that's going to be you just have to wish for the best, right? And I think, you know, even like with me, like I'm not a fan, but, hey, I mean, you hate to see the man have that happen to him. So hopefully it will come together, and
it will.
We shall see. But that being said, man, I was watching the show, right? It is called 227. And there's a guy on there with the little afro. And it was just like a microphone. You had that back in the day, too. So I understand, you know, where my daughter was getting it from. But I had to tell her, you know, that's not Hal Williams. You know, that's Chris Sanders.
Hey, 227, man, get off my phone, man.
Oh, this is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD. Superfly, whiskey drinking Tennessee women. If
you ain't from the 6th, then you can't ride with me. All right, back from the break. You hear my guy, MCD. That's right, a local artist. That's my dog right there, man, Tennessee Pimpin'. Definitely make sure you check him out. But as you heard, Roger McQuarrie was the one to bring us back from the break, and he had an interception today. We'll get into that, but I want to get back into the offense and some of the things that I saw on Wednesday. And I will say this, initially, like one-on-ones, it was tough, man. And DeAndre Hopkins, he got things started. He did an excellent job. He caught a back shoulder on one of the Vikings DBs. And then Chig Okonkwo was able to beat Harrison Smith. And we know Harrison Smith is one of the top safeties out there. He was able to beat him for a catch. And that was Mekhi Blackmon that Hopkins beat. He beat him twice. And one-on-ones, though, it was tough because that wind was blowing. And, there's a couple local guys out here in Minnesota on the Vikings. You got Jawan Williams, the Vanderbilt corner, and, of course, Theo Jackson, the DB out of Tennessee. Both of those guys are Tennessee products. But you had a tough – there was a tough showing there in one-on-ones. And, I mean, the wind was out here blowing. It was at least 20 miles an hour. So the ball is shifting, and it's tough out there. But I will say the Vikings DBs, they held their own in one-on-ones. And then you move it over to 7-on-7, and initially it was a little bit of a tough period. But they were able to start things, getting things going. Some short passes, Tannehill was able to work to Kyle Phillips across the middle. He connected with Chig and Hopkins as well. But it really started to catch fire when Malik Willis came on. And I tell you, quietly, Malik Willis is having a very good camp. And he came out, he got 4 reps, he was 4 for 4. He hit Colton Dow on a deep pass in stride. Perfect pass. That one was a touchdown. And then Kiaris Jackson on a corner type of route. Beautiful throw there, anticipation, hit him in stride. He went 4 for 4, including that touchdown. And Willis is definitely – now, the other two passes, they were short passes. But Yeah, he's hitting his stride. He looked really good in 7-on-7. Then Will Levis came in, and I mean, I tell you what, he had a throw across the middle to Gavin Holmes that it was in a real tight window. It was like me holding my laptop up, Will Levis throwing a football through the screen. It was a tight one, man, but really good throw there. And he's another one that's having a good camp. And this quarterback battle is pretty intriguing. I actually wrote about it. And one of the things I like that Charles London said, that it's competitive but not combative. And I think that's something that's it's always good to have competition, but you don't want that combat. Like, you don't want the guys fighting with each other and not supporting each other. And that's not what you have in that QB room. But nevertheless, all three of those guys, they had solid periods. Malik Willis came back in team period, and he was 4-for-4 again. He and Josh Wiley connected. I've been impressed with Willis and just what he's able to do, especially – so they were bringing the blitz, right? Minnesota blitzed their safeties a couple times, and they were just kind of running some games and things. And Malik Willis had pressure in his face twice. Two times he was able to connect with Mason Kinsey there. He also had a play action, a nice play action pass. Then you look at Ryan Tannehill, there was a blitz and he changed the play and he hit his guy down the field. I don't remember who that throw was to. I have to go to my notes to check it, but that was a really good throw. So it was a good opportunity for the offense to get out there and go against a different defense. You know, they didn't really have a solid start, but things came along as practice went on. As a matter of fact, here's Ryan Tannehill on just going against that defense, that Vikings defense, setting the standard and just how things are working for them.
Yeah, we're looking at a different defense, different scheme than we see from our team. You know, as you go throughout the season, you see a bunch of different schemes, a bunch of different styles of play from defenses. So to be able to switch things up, see a different style of play, see a different defense is good work for us. You know, lots to learn from it and build on as we move forward.
When you guys come together like this against another team, how important is it for you, or is it important, like, to set a standard, like, this is the way we play and we're going to show you how our standard is?
Well, we want to play the way we play no matter where we're at, who we're playing against. You know, whether it's in Nashville playing against their own defense or coming out here. You know, that's one thing we said to the guys is we got to play our style of the ball and practice the way we practice. And I didn't feel like we did that early on. You know, we kind of didn't start off the way we wanted to and didn't turn around quick enough. You know, we were able to do some good things in that two-minute period at the end, but if you don't consistently make plays throughout the game, you're not going to be in a position to you know, go win the game at the end. So opportunity for us to come out tomorrow and build on it.
So that's what you have right there with Ryan Tannehill, just kind of reflecting on the day. And as he said, you know, there was initially, you know, things got off to a rough start, but then they were able to make it happen and it got going. And that's exactly the case, man. They definitely had a good ending to practice. The 2 minute period was good. Tannehill got them in position to kick a field goal. Caleb Shudak was short from 55, but then the Malik Willis, he drove him down and they were in a good situation there. So that was that. And another thing that's really important to look at is just being able to break up the monotony, right? This is a team that they've been going against each other for almost 2 weeks now, a little over 2 weeks now. So when you get to go against a different scheme, a different group of personnel, things change up. And I think that's why it's important, you know, for these starters to go against their starters and to be able to get the most out of the joint practices. Another thing that's good is they're able to create different situations, whereas the coaching staffs come together and they're like, hey, I want to see my guys in 2 minute period against this look. You want to see your guys in red zone against that look. Let's put that together in practice. And that's a good part. And here's Mike Vrabel just on the importance of the joint practices and what they get out of it.
I mean, I think we've been getting a lot of really good work in against ourselves. And I think that's probably, this is a good time to end that and start this process here the next 2 weeks. And, you know, again, we've talked about the different skill sets of players in this league, different schemes that we'll have to face throughout the season. And now, instead of having you know, ourselves the game plan against or understand, and maybe having a little bit more time. Now we just have two practices and then a game. So this is going to be some hands-on experience, I think, just learning, you know, different guys' route crafts, releases, different players at the line of scrimmage. You know, so that can help us and just say, okay, let's make some corrections, or what do we need to adjust on going into tomorrow and then the game.
Now, the defense, I watched most of the offense on Wednesday, but the defense, let me tell you, they're legit, man. They are legit. The two-minute period, they had two interceptions. The first one came where Arden Key had that pressure off the edge. He made Kirk Cousins throw one too quickly. It was an outbreaking route, and Roger McCreary, he undercut that thing, and he picked it off. And that was a really good play by McCreary, who – you know, was in the nickel, and he ran with that slot receiver on that outbreaking route and was able to get it. Now, the next one was another pressure, and you notice where the problems are originating from for the opposition, you know, where the problems are being caused for the Titans defense, and that's the guys up front. First it was Arden Key, and then Rashad Weaver came off the same edge, right, and he was able to knife in there. And I think it would have been a sack, but nevertheless, he forced, was it Nick Mullins? Nick Mullins had to throw it real quick. And then TK McClendon, one of the things that they work on, if you're not going to make it home, stop, put your hands up, contribute that way, knock the ball, disrupt the ball at the line of scrimmage. That's what McClendon did. It was tipped in the air, and go figure, Rashad Weaver was able to pick it off. Weaver has two interceptions, by the way. He has the most. He's tied with Amani Hooker for the most in training camp, which is crazy. They both came off a tip. Well, one off a tip, and then the other one he dropped back into coverage. He got Malik earlier in camp. But those were two really good reps in 2 minute. Then in team, you know, the defense was just – they did an outstanding job just from afar what I was seeing and just going by, you know, hearing – that defensive group, you know, getting hype. And Azeez Al-Shaair had an interception off a tip pass. It bounced off of one of the receivers, number 17, who was, let's see who that is, KJ Osborne. It bounced off of KJ Osborne, and Al-Shaair was able to pick it off. So that's three interceptions that I know of on the day for them on Wednesday, which is outstanding, and especially with them coming in two-minute period. And I think it was important for the Titans defense to come out and have that type of showing against an offense like the Vikings because, yeah, you could look good against the Titans offense, but this is an offense we don't know what they are. So at least in this way, you know what the Vikings offense is. They went out there and dominated. Here's Kevin Byard on the performance and just how important it is to set a standard as a defense.
I mean, just from the eye test, I thought it was really, really good. We didn't allow any big plays down the field on defense. You know, they made some plays, but at the end of the day, I feel like we competed our behinds off. You know, you don't really know sometimes off the eye test as far as, like, the defense alignment, but we were stuffing the runs. Seems like we got a couple sacks, and obviously 2 minutes, we ended with two picks. So I thought it was a great day overall for the defense, but, you know, we're going to watch the film and find space to correct.
Changing the scenery and the opponent, how important was it for you to maintain that level of excellence that you guys have had?
Yeah, it's important because, you know, when we're on the road, obviously practice is a different team. The routine is different. We're at a different facility, different locker room. You know, you're sleeping in the hotel. So I think it's definitely big to come out here and start fast, bring our own energy. And I feel like we was able to do that today.
So there you have it right there, right? No matter where they play, that's what Tannehill said too. No matter where they play, who they're lining up against, they have a standard that they want to maintain. And I think that's important to have that understanding. I just want to see how the rest of this week works out in the preseason game as well. Because the thing is, when you have a team and you do these joint practices, right, you have one team have a really good showing one day, that opposition is going to come out like, hey, we really got to redeem ourselves the next day. And I remember that happening against the Buccaneers, you know, with Brady. And that's exactly what they did the second day. They came out and, you know, set their standards. So that'll be something to watch, you know, on Thursday's joint practices. And, hey, listen, man, we are going to definitely continue to check that out. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Like I said, definitely wishing Treylon Burks the best. You hate to see a guy go down and have an injury like that. We'll continue to give you updates on that. And more updates from joint practices. And then the game on Saturday, obviously, is going to be a lot to look forward to. Some guys that are going to be looking to secure some spots, and other guys are looking to pop onto the radar. So definitely appreciate everybody for making this thing happen. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Definitely make sure that you continue to check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you find your fine listening materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.